His love overcomes. We'll be starting in Matthew this morning. Just have a couple of scriptures to read, actually. Matthew chapter 11. We all need love, don't we? We all need to feel loved. I think that's the one thing that humanity desires and craves the most, is to feel loved. And this is why many go searching in the wrong places for it. They satisfy their appetites with things the devil offers. They satisfy their appetite with things the world says will make you happy and fill that void. We see drug use at an all-time high in this country. It's an epidemic. However you want to categorize drugs, anything that, you know, makes you high or gets you intoxicated, it's widespread right now. And it's on the rise because people are trying to find peace, trying to find fulfillment, trying to be satisfied. The love of God overcomes anything we can bring before Him. The love of God overcomes our past, it overcomes our shame, it overcomes our guilt, it overcomes our mistakes, it overcomes our failures. Love, the thing about God's love, it's not like us as humans. God's love meets us where we're at. Whereas us as humans, we'll love conditionally. Now, I know there's maybe things we love unconditionally. I mean, I would love me Pablo's if I had to wait 3 hours to eat. I'm going to still love them, okay? If the sauce is a little bit off, I'm still going to love them. It's okay. We love our kids unconditionally, even though it's hard sometimes. We love our kids unconditionally. But as a whole, we put conditions on how we treat someone. God doesn't do that. The love of God is so pure and so holy and so righteous. Because the Bible says in John that God is love. That's the definition of God. He's love. If someone said, how do you define God? What is God? Who is God? What is, you know, God? What is it? He's love. In other words, the love God has for us doesn't look at us as we look at ourselves. The love of God doesn't put us in a penalty box or put us in a timeout or punish us or correct us in a way that says, because of this, I'm not going to love you anymore. God's love is truly the only love that's really unconditional. Because the only condition at all that God's love has is, will we receive it? That's it. Will you receive it? Will you let me love you like I want to love you? If we could understand the depth and the root of God's love and how it changes our lives and how that we don't have to listen to religious, self-righteous people who try to keep you bound by your sins whenever the Bible says him that knew no sin became sin that you could become the righteousness of God. So how am I righteous? By what I do? No. By what he did. That's the love God showed us. And it's amazing how we put people in a category of saved or unsaved or backslidden or in between or almost there or was there or might get there instead of saying that Jesus paid the price forever for you to be free and to be righteous and to see him face to face. That's what his love did for us. We're going to talk about what Jesus said in Matthew 11, beginning with verse 28. This is Jesus himself speaking. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Every single person that has a burden, that has a care, that has a struggle, that has a stronghold, that has an issue, and I think that's most of us in here. If you have no issues, I will lay on the couch and let you have your eyeglasses and pen pad and talk to me. Because we've all got them. Brother Gale, how long you been saved? How many years?
I was 12 years old,
and you're now a little older than that. So Gale has been a Christian. I won't give the exact age. I'll do a little bit of math, and y'all can figure it out. So Gale's been a Christian over 70 years. Over 70 years, he's been a follower of Jesus. Brother Gale, do you still have some issues sometime? You still have burdens and pain, struggles. All of us do. It don't matter how long we've been saved. It don't matter how long we have followed the Lord. We all carry burdens. And we all carry weight. And we all need God's rest to touch us. And that rest comes through his love. Because when we know that God loves us, when I know God loves me, through every mistake that I have made and will make, his love is unchangeable for me. Now, I'm not saying that God's smiling down on me. That's my boy James out there sinning. Hey, brother, sleeping around with that blonde. Good job. How'd you get her? God ain't saying that. Melody's saying that. How'd you get her? But God ain't saying that. But you know what? He still loves me. His love for me, and this is the revelation of really the whole gospel. The love that Jesus has for me is not measured by how I act or how I even live. He is love. It didn't say he might be love or he's love when I'm acting good. The Bible says God is love. You can't separate that from God. And that love was poured upon my life. And it's that love that reminds me that God, you're not going to ever leave me. You're not going to ever forsake me, even when I'm in a bad place or a bad season. Jesus said, everyone that's burdened, come to me. Everyone. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how bad you think you are, everyone that comes to me, I'm going to give them what they need. Doesn't matter how big the sin is, how major the sin is. Don't matter what people say about you around you. You are qualified for the love of God. You know how? By being born. Just by being born qualifies you to receive the love of God. Doesn't matter what past you've had. Come to the Lord. Lord, I need you to give me rest. Will you hear my prayer? Will you answer me? Do you love me enough, God, to meet my need? Jesus says, yes. Everyone that comes, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to turn you away. I'm going to serve you in whatever way I can. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek. I am lowly in heart. And you, here it says it again, he says, you will find rest unto your souls. That's the real root of the problem in humanity's heart is the unrest of their soul. This is why people are angry. There's no rest in their soul. This is why they're picking a fight with whatever they can find. They're looking for a fight. They're looking to stir trouble. They're looking for a cause. The world is walking around with a chip on its shoulder. We can't say anything. We can't look at anybody. We can't blink an eye or bat an ear or utter a word without someone getting mad. Because there's no rest in their souls. When we find true rest for our souls, guess what? We're settled. Let the heathen rage, the Bible says, right? Let the world go mad. I've got rest. I'm fine because Jesus has settled in my heart and my life what I need. And I'm not looking for a fight. The Bible says that we should be peacemakers as Christians, right? If at all possible, live at peace with all men. Don't stir up trouble just to be stirring up. There's some folks that live for the drama. They live for it. They live to make someone else's life a living hell. That's why they live. They live just to be annoying. Now, I don't know anybody. That's none of y'all. I know it's coming out really, you know, bold right here. Oh, y'all are great. Love you. Love all of you. But you know what I'm talking about. There are those people that walk around with the sour puss face all the time, like they just drunk vinegar, and they're walking around and they're mad at the world. They hate their boss. They hate their church. They hate the president. They hate every lawyer, every cop. They hate every child, every man, every race, every religion. They're just looking for something to fight. But man, when we let Jesus give us rest, all of a sudden, we see the world a lot different. Because we're not looking for a fight anymore. We're looking to try to give someone else peace. Remember what Jesus says, as I've given unto you, give also to them. What has Christ given us? His love. What are we to give back out? His love. We show love. I told you a story of the mall last week where we ran into one of Ashley's friends. Super nice guy, super nice family. Just amazing the difference in theology. Or maybe not even theology, the difference in approach, let's say, approach. We're at the mall in Hickory, right? Running this guy, he's a preacher. I'm sitting there talking to him, meeting him the first time. Super nice guy, super nice guy. Preacher, loves Jesus. You can tell us all over him. He loves Jesus. I love Jesus. We love Jesus. And we're sitting in the store. A guy's upstairs at the Valley Hill Mall. You know, they got two stories. He's upstairs, and he yells from the bottom up to the rail, "Hey, brother! Keep showing them Jesus. Save somebody from hell today." Everybody at the mall's like, and I'm sitting there going, yes, we're inside a store. Yes, a very busy store on a Saturday night. And so I'm sitting there thinking, I mean, you know, I'm like, is that maybe the right approach? I don't know. It's not my approach. My approach would be, hey, brother, God loves you. Tell somebody else how God loves them. All of a sudden, that might trigger something. God loves me? Somebody might have heard that. How could God love me? Because if you only knew, preacher, what I've done, it don't matter. The Bible says that he will remember our iniquities no more. He says he will blot out our transgressions. Nail that handwriting to the cross. Nail it. It was nailed to the cross. It was removed from our lives, from our past, and hallelujah, from our future. It was removed. That's the power of a risen Savior. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no more condemnation or judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's verse after verse that teaches us the love of God and how it removed it out of our lives, all the sin, all the things that were held against us. That's what we need to focus on. The love overcomes every stronghold. It overcomes every struggle. It overcomes every pain. You can't outrun God's love. You can't. And for you religious folks, you go crazy right here, but hang on. Listen to the words I'm about to say. You can't. I dare to say this because there's going to be some gulping. Just listen to the words. You can't out-sin God's love. I don't know about that, preacher. Well, stay bound the way you are. If my sin caused God not to love me, then his love is not unconditional. And once again, the cross and the power of what it represented, the one offering, we read it last Sunday out of Hebrews, one offering forever perfected them. One offering forever. Several times in Hebrews 10, read, church, I want to challenge you, read just one chapter. I never give homework assignment. Read this week sometime. Read Hebrews 10, just one chapter. Hebrews chapter 10, read through it and tell me how you can stay bound after reading that chapter. Whenever Christ has set us free. That's what love did. You know what love did? Think about throughout the Bible what love did. Jesus' love healed 10 lepers. You're not thinking, okay, big deal. Lepers were a big deal back then. I mean, there's lepers here today as far as we treat people like lepers, don't we? Somebody walks into church with all long hair and all tattooed up and nose piercings and they're a leper. Their skin color is a little bit different. They're a leper. They may be a Democrat. They're a leper. Whatever the issue that we bring up, they're a Cowboy fan. Hallelujah, they're definitely a leper. I mean, we still kind of do that. Here's 10 lepers came to Jesus. Now, leprosy in that day, they couldn't even live inside the city while they were sick. They had to be away from the public and live outside the gate. They were considered outcast because of their leprosy, their skin disease. Here's 10 lepers that walk up to Jesus in a time where they should have been outside the gate. They walk up and say, "Will you heal us?" And Jesus' love looked beyond the outcast status of what they were. His love looked beyond the leprosy that stared him back in the face, reminding Jesus of his own Jewish regulation that he shouldn't even be near them. But his love healed 10 lepers. And then he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." The reason he said that is because the priest had to have the clearance to declare them clean. They had the moral authority to declare them clean. He healed 10 lepers. That's what his love did. Remember, I think we read last Sunday when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and they came to arrest him before his crucifixion, and one of his disciples cut the soldier's ear off? What did Jesus' love do? Restored his ear. You know what he was doing? He was blessing his enemies. He was not holding that against that soldier. He was showing who he was in that moment. We don't live by the sword. But my love is going to fix. I mean, the very one that was arresting Jesus, that was going to lead him to crucifixion, he healed his ear. We won't pray for somebody that's got a headache because they owe us money. Just saying. Or we say this. Man, I mean, I'm at Walmart, and they told me to pray for them. Can you believe they told your husband? Can you believe they want me to pray for him? You know, remember how they used to treat me? And all of a sudden, they found religion. Oh, yeah. We say that one, don't we? All of a sudden, they got Jesus. They didn't have Jesus. They slept with my husband. They got Jesus now. When we go through things in life like that, we really see the difference in God's love and our love. Remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector. It's tax time, right? We love April. Some of us love it, some of us hate it. Depends on what side you're on. I hate it. Hate with a capital H and a capital A and a capital T and a capital E-E-E-E. I hate it because it wasn't a good year for me. So, Zacchaeus was a crooked tax collector. He was known to be crooked. He ripped people off. He had an evil heart. Church, here's what it comes down to. Our heart being changed by the love of God. Because you know what changed our actions? Our heart. We can't be what we're not. And that's why we've been preaching the wrong way for so many years. We can't make an orange an apple. It has to first have the seed of an apple to be an apple. And so we preach to people, boy, you need a change. Get saved. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, hold you in the water till you drown, till you see Jesus. But until the heart changes, they're going to be what they're going to be. So what we pray for is, God, let your love change their heart. Out of the heart, the issues of life flow. So Zacchaeus was a crook, but he heard Jesus was walking, coming to town. He climbed up in a tree. There's a massive crowd. So Zacchaeus got up in a tree. This important political figure in his town climbed a tree because he wanted to just see this Jesus. And when Jesus passed by that tree, looked up and saw Zacchaeus and called him down. He changed Zacchaeus' life. Zacchaeus' life was changed, we know, because the Bible says that he went and restored fourfold to all of those he had ripped off. He said, "I'll give half of my goods to the poor, and then I'll go restore fourfold of those I ripped off." God's love looked beyond an evil, crooked tax collector climbing a tree. He didn't go by and say, "Yeah, you want me now, don't you? You want me? You need something, right? Well, you know what? If you hadn't hit Joseph and Mary, my mom, and them taxes, I might help you. But you did mom wrong." So you know what? Stay in that tree. You know why he calls the kids down? Because Jesus, in his spirit, felt his spirit. Zacchaeus had a desire for something that he didn't even know what it was. But he had a desire for something. And Jesus was that something. Peter denied Jesus 3 times publicly. Denied him. Now think about this. Really think about how profound this was. They came to Peter. Aren't you with that Jesus Christ dude? No. Mm-mm. I've seen you with the, aren't you one of the disciples? No, I don't know. You got me mistaken. That's not me. 3 different times Peter denied, rejected is a better word. Rejected his association with Jesus. But what happened in Acts chapter 2? Who was the first one that God used to proclaim the first new covenant message? Peter. God's love didn't hold Peter's rejection, his embarrassment, his fear is really what it was. It was fear. He didn't hold his fear against him, but yet he still loved him. We see story after story of how God's love overshadowed and overcame and loved beyond when they didn't deserve to be loved, but yet he loved them. Jesus was an equal opportunity employer. Whoever came, he healed. Whoever believed, he saved. Whoever surrendered, he accepted. Whether they were Samaritan, whether they were Jewish, whether they were Greek, didn't matter. No matter what their skin color was, what their background was, what their heritage was, what their family name was. When they came to Jesus, he never turned anyone away. He blessed them because his love overshadowed them. It says, on that verse, it says the yoke is a... Oh, go to the next verse, 30. Talk about the yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why does he say that? Remember the day he's dealing in legalistic, scribes and scholars and legalism and all that stuff that they had to hold on to. How hard that would be. Church, do you remember a day? Maybe some of you were this way years ago. I know I was. Not to a real extreme, but to some degree. Having to carry the burden every day of, I gotta do what I gotta do to stay saved. I gotta do what I gotta do to make sure I'm still right with God. I gotta carry that weight and that burden every day of saying, you know, God, have I prayed enough? Or have I done enough? Or, oh my gosh, I looked at the wrong thing, or I thought the wrong thought, or I said the wrong word, and living in complete torment and carrying that burden, am I enough to be enough? Jesus says, my burden's light. Just trust me. Here's what Jesus says. I'm driving the limo. Just get in the back and let me drive. I've got this. I'll direct your life. I'll take you where you need to go. Just let me drive. And just trust me. You don't have to carry all this legalistic stuff that keeps us bound. I mean, it's such a weight that we don't have to carry. But we carried all the time because we've let people program us, churches and preachers program us, into keeping us under their control instead of under the Spirit's control. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit will teach you what you need to know. The Holy Spirit will direct you. It will guide you. The Bible says it will always lead you into truth. We don't have to have someone giving us a list of all the things we can't do. God lets us know that. He lets us know that. I mean, once again, there's things that some of you do I don't do. There's things I probably do y'all don't do. But the key is when God speaks to us about those issues, that we listen. There's a reason he's speaking to us. And let his Holy Spirit direct us and lead us. Because if we don't, then we're not obeying the voice of God. His yoke's easy. You don't have to please a man. You don't have to please a church. You are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ alone. And that's why the burden is light. He says, I'll help you. You don't have to carry all of this stuff all the time. I remember years, you know, through the years I come to the altar, you know, during services growing up, and through the years I come to the altar, and there were times. This is why anytime I'm at the altar, church, I want to explain this. I want to make this very clear. The altar is not just for the low life sinners y'all are staring at when they come up here on Sunday. Just being real. You sit there thinking, oh my God, what have they done? And we even sit there thinking, oh my gosh, what's their big sin? Man, the altar is to get free. You know how many times I've been to the altar through the years? I mean, as a Christian, I didn't go to the altar to repent of my drunkenness or my drug use or my adultery. Man, I came to the altar to just be free. God, I'm tired. You know, I'm weak. I've lost my vision. I've lost my strength. You know, I'm not maybe where I need to be right now. Maybe I've lost a little bit of my position where you've had me, and I just want to be renewed. I want to be restored. And I remember coming to the altar and having, you know, be prayed over and feel the Holy Spirit just lift that off of me. And man, I'd go back to my seat feeling 20 pounds lighter. That's the best Weight Watcher program right there, buddy. Just come to the altar. Let God remove that weight. And I would go back feeling so clean and so restored. We don't have to have a big sin going on to come to the altar. And we even justify, well, I have an altar call, and I feel God draw me, but, I mean, what have I done? How arrogant we are. Right? What have I done? I mean, you know, what have I done? Really? If God is drawing you, there's a reason. Just come see what he's got for you. He may want your feet to dance. Who knows? He may give you a prophetic word that you need right now. It may be something simple as just restoring your vision and your hope and your joy because you've lost it. Go back to Brother Gale. He's been saved over 70 years. Gale, has there ever been a time in your life where you kind of lost your joy? He's shaking his head, yeah, for all you. Lost his joy? Well, how can he lose his joy if he knows Jesus? If you're a Christian, you should always be happy. Really? Y'all look miserable right now. Just because we saved don't mean that we don't lose our joy sometimes or our peace. Man, the devil can come in, especially if you got kids. And the world's going great, man. You're like Dexter Laboratory, and you're like Dee Dee. La, 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 la. Remember Dee Dee on Dexter Laboratory? I grew up with my kids watching that. You know, Dexter was the grumpy one. Ah, Dee Dee, get out of my Laboratory. Just ill and hateful. But Dee Dee didn't have a care in the world, hopping along. La, 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 la. And sometimes we're like that. Sometimes you're Dee Dee, and sometimes you're Dexter. But thank God, God's still God. And when you're Dexter, he still loves you. And when you're Dee Dee, God's doing this. Glad you're happy. But man, when you start having kids, you maybe have a Dee Dee life until you have kids. And then all of a sudden, whoo, they can change your world. Because you love them so much. And you carry their burdens, and you carry their weights, and you carry their struggles, and you carry their fears. And there's times that life can just get us down. We've got to be reminded of what Jesus says. Come to me, heavy laden and burdened. It don't mean you're less holy. Church, I want to, just because you come to the altar, or you surrender to God, or you call upon his name, does not make you weaker. In fact, it makes you stronger. For Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul recognized when he is so deluded of any kind of strength of his own, that's when he becomes the strongest, because he's out of the way and lets God be the way. So God's presence is for all, not just the ones with the big sins or the big struggles. I mean, my opinion, the altar ought to be full every time it's called. Really? But we let the devil step in and make us feel funny and make us think what people are going to say. And it's like I say all the time, what's my saying, Carol? They're talking about you anyway, right? They're talking about you anyway. Look, I've been pastoring 15 years. I've done the best job I could as a pastor. I love people. I've done the very best job I could do. I'm not fool enough to think I don't get talked about. I'm not fool enough to think, well, I don't like the music, and I don't like the preaching, and I wish he'd wear a suit, or I wish he did this, or I don't like when he wears jeans, or I don't like he tells jokes. I think he should be, you know, a pastor. Thus saith the Lord. God Almighty. I don't like it he walks around. Don't like he gets any. It don't bother me. It don't bother me. I'm just glad you're talking about me. It keeps me alive. When they stop talking about you, that's the problem. So keep talking about him, right, Brother Williams? Keep talking. So good to see Brother Williams back today. I did not expect him. What an awesome surprise for him to come back today. And he's got his sister with him, Delaine. So glad to have her as well. So church, don't worry about what they're going to say. Get what you need from God. This is between you and God, right? That's all that matters. You and God. One more verse I want to read. John chapter 6. This is the Amplified. I thought the Amplified was good, so I pulled this up for Amplified. John 6, 37. This is also Jesus speaking. All who my Father gives and trust in me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will most certainly not cast out. Look what it says. I will never reject one of them who comes to me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to reject one person. No matter how many prison sentences you got, how many felonies you got, how many tattoos you got, how many long hairs you got, how many pierced holes you got in places we don't need to know about, it don't matter. All who come, I will not reject. My love is universal to all who are. He didn't just die for Israel. He just didn't die for the white man. He just didn't die for the Middle Eastern countries. He didn't just die for that part of the world. He died for the entire human race. And all that come to him, he will never, ever reject. That is good news. Glory to God. His love overcomes. I think about Joe Brown's story, the friend in Ohio he prayed for many, many years to be saved. And it was in his 60s when he finally called Joe on the phone in his 60s and told Joe, guess what, Joe? I got saved. Joe said he prayed for that man every day for years and years and years and years and years. He prayed for that man. And God didn't give up on him. The moment Joe's friend came to the conclusion, came to the draw, whatever happened in his life, to point him to Jesus, he came to him. And Jesus didn't hold it against him. He didn't say, well, 40 years I've been trying to call you. 40 years I've been trying to speak to you. 40 years, and now you want me. It was a day of celebration. Just like the prodigal son, a day of celebration. He was out partying, spending his money, doing, living wild, living his life, sowing his royal oats, so to speak. But the moment he came back to the Father, Father, will you receive me? Oh, yes, son. I'm going to receive you. I love you. You're still my son. You're still my child. And guess what? He was still his father's child, even in the hog pen. He was still his child when he was trying to eat slop, when he was sleeping with prostitutes or women or whatever he was doing out you know, getting drunk and just completely giving himself away to whatever the world offered. He was still that father's son. And the moment he came home, all was restored. That's the love that overcomes. Love overcomes. Whatever you're going through right now, love overcomes it. God's love. I want to read you a text. Hey, my phone there, Brandon, if you would, please. I read this Wednesday night, and I asked permission to read this, and he said I could. This was a text from Karina's son, Mike. He lives in Pittsburgh, or near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he got baptized last Sunday, Easter Sunday. He got baptized. And Mike, we talk quite a bit. He'll call me sometimes or text me with questions about the Bible. And he actually supports our church financially, which is amazing. It just touches my heart he does that. But he got baptized up in Pennsylvania last Wednesday. And so I asked him, I said, how do you feel since being baptized? Here's what he put. Now Mike's, if I'm not mistaken, he's fairly new in church, right, Karina? He just kind of really just got in church recently. So, and he's in his 40s. He's what, 45? 46. And just recently really got in church at 46 and getting anchored. He got baptized. And I said, how did it feel to get baptized? Here's what he put. Refreshed is probably the best way to describe it. I feel a responsibility now, too. Everyone needs to know what God can do for them. I want to be a beacon to share his love. Finding Jesus in my heart is the most amazing feeling ever. I'm a very blessed person. I've told Brother Tim that you can't even imagine how your life changes by accepting Jesus in your heart. That's what it's about. He's had a transformation. His heart's been changed. It don't mean he was a bad person before. And so people say that. Well, I was not about being good or bad. There's a lot of good people that do good things that don't follow Jesus. But his heart's been changed. I love the part that I feel responsibility to. Responsibility. What does he mean? I got a responsibility now to serve the Lord and to share his love. You know, something happened this past year, and I want to apologize to the church. It really got away from me, to be honest. Some of you, nobody even mentioned it to me. So maybe you didn't even catch it, or maybe you did and just was scared to mention it to me. But for the first time ever last year, we didn't do a baptism. First 14 years, we had an annual baptism. We didn't do one last year. Just got away from it. We just started our construction, I think, just got away from it. And I apologize for that. But we are going to do one coming up this year, a baptism. If you want to be baptized, if you want to be rebaptized. And for folks that say this, and church, I understand. Once again, it goes back to this. There are some folks that actually gave me flack one time because I said, if you want to get baptized again, well, once is enough, Pastor. Okay, fine. Keep your arrogant, ugly, angry self. Fine. Really? Gosh, I've been baptized 3 or 4 times. Keep me under for a while. We know that one time, of course, is enough to be baptized in Christ. We understand that concept. But don't we need to be refreshed sometimes? There's nothing wrong with getting baptized again. Don't think it's an unholy thing or an unreligious thing or, well, it means the first one wasn't good enough. I don't mean that. I got baptized when I got saved at 9. I got baptized. Me and Melanie got married. I got baptized when we started this church 15 years ago. I wanted a fresh start in the ministry. And I got Rodney and my dad baptized me. Baptism is a powerful thing. You're identifying yourself with Christ. You're letting the world know and yourself know, yes, Lord, I go under the water, I'm coming out, I'm yours. I'm declaring the world, I'm yours. I'm your child. So it's a very important thing. So be thinking about that this year. I don't know when we're going to do it, but we'll do it. And if you want to be baptized, you want to be rebaptized, you want to be recharged. I mean, man, I wish the whole church would get baptized. That'd be awesome. I wish 100 people would get baptized. That'd be beautiful. Put y'all under. Hallelujah. Dad, keep holding them. Hold Joe a little bit longer. He ain't smiling yet. There you go. Bring him up. Glory. We're going to do that, though. So I apologize. It got skipped last year. It got away from me last year a little bit with everything going on. But his love will not reject us, and I'm thankful for that. Margie, come on up here if you would. I want to give you a chance this morning that if you've got a burden, you got anything you just need God to lift off of you. And listen, don't put so much thought into it. Boy, some of us ADD people, you know, we get over-processed, and we've done got next Wednesday at 3 o'clock figured out. And all God wants is right now, the next 5 minutes, all he wants. The next 5 minutes that, you know, I want to speak to you, I want to touch you, I want to help you, whatever that is. Don't overthink it and think, well, what if nothing changes? What if it don't happen? What if I'm always the same? We put too much thought in that. Man, if God is speaking to you in any way, if there's any desire you have to be set free, to be a burden lifted off, to have some peace, to have some joy, to have some direction, to have your vision restored, whatever you need, God has it. It's okay. I'm at the altar every Sunday. I'm up here every Sunday with you. And let God give you what you need today. Go ahead and play a little something, Marjorie. Father, I want to open this altar up right now for those that need your love to overcome their situation. That they are staying bound, either through their affliction, through a stronghold, through fear, through pain, through sickness, through doubt, through unbelief. They've lost their vision, lost their joy, lost their peace. You said, Lord, everyone that comes, I will give them rest. God, we need rest for our souls. We need rest to know everything's going to be all right. That though challenges come in our lives, though some days we don't want to crawl out of bed, some days are bad, God. Some days are discouraging. Some days we just feel lost. And God, we need to be found again. We need to be grounded again. We need to be re-energized, refocused. Our tools need to be sharpened again today, God. We need a pouring of your Holy Spirit. We need a fresh anointing, a fresh touch from on high right now. Nowhere else we can get this, God. Nowhere we can buy this. There's no formula. There's no remedy. There's no drug. There's no supplement that can give us what you can give us right now. And as we open this altar up, Lord, I just pray that you draw people's hearts up here, that they will stand before you, and that you will restore and refresh every unsettled soul. In Jesus' name. The altar is open, church.